So you set this up so you had your own camera. That's the way you set this up? I see. I get it. Really making this all about him, isn't he?
You're damn right. All right, let's get this going. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Upside Podcast. Let me introduce everybody. I'm Danny Tripodi, and with me is Andrew Buckman and Brandon Barpa.
What's up?
Howdy.
It's not as impressive without a live studio audience. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but can we add in some like applause?
Yeah,
like,
we can get that in cool. post.
I like
it's that. Going out of my head, I swear.
So if you guys listened to us or watched us last time, it was just me and Brandon, but now our buddy Andrew is back. And Andrew, can you tell us a little bit about where you were for the past 2 weeks?
Yeah, I've been in Japan for the last 2 weeks. I'm still on the Japanese time zone right now, so forgive me if my brain wanders in different places because the time of recording is like almost 6 o'clock, which is like 7 o'clock in the morning there. So that's how I've been operating the past week here. So
sounds like
happy to be here though.
We're happy to have you back.
Thanks, Danny.
So how was Japan? What was the origin of your trip to Japan?
Well, the purpose of going to Japan was for Star Wars Celebration. So besides Disney Lorcana, I am a huge, huge Star Wars nerd. And when they announced that the next celebration was going to be in Japan back in 2023, me and my partner Leslie made a commitment that, yep, we're going to Japan and we'll make a little bit of a trip out of it too. So besides a Star Wars Celebration, we spent the first couple days in Tokyo. We went to Tokyo Disneyland. And then after Celebration, we went to Osaka and spent the time just walking around and enjoying all the different vegan options that we can get there, which is pretty cool. So highly recommend to anyone who gets a chance to go to Japan. Great culture, really interesting trains too. If you've never been on public transportation before, get ready. Japanese public transportation is like at a whole nother level, but it was an awesome trip. Highly recommend it.
Did you do bullet train type stuff there, right?
Yeah.
It flies?
So we did the bullet train to and from Osaka, and what would be like normally a 4-hour car ride was 2 hours. So cuts that time right down in half, and pretty cool, actually. Very comfortable, much more convenient than a flight, but actually way more expensive. We were looking at flights from Tokyo to Osaka, and it would have been like 20, 30 bucks a person. You're talking like 100 plus per train ride on the bullet train, but very convenient because you literally just hop on and you go.
Did like take off like Rock and Roller Coaster takeoff or what are we?
No, curious. It's like, it's actually a slow start and end because you have to slow down to get to the train station. And like same thing in between stations, it doesn't go to like its max speed. So it's only like when you're on that open stretch between major train stations, does it go like the full 200 roughly miles per hour?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's pretty cool though.
And you came bearing gifts, which you're such a sweetheart. Thank you for these Japanese packs of Rise of Floodborne.
Oh, yeah.
Should we crack these?
I'm open for cracking them, yeah. Especially because these were pretty difficult to come by. So to the Japanese out there that are purchasing the Lorcana, I'll find you out there because this was hard to get. And so I'm glad I was able to get what I was able to purchase there. So let's see if we can get something good out of these.
Yeah. You guys want to take turns?
Yeah.
You want to start us off?
Yeah, I can crack our packs here. I like these packs too. They got this little tear tab at the top.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys feel about Lorcana packs, but they're not my favorite to open because they can be a little bit difficult. But these, like, just rip this right open. Got a nice little thing here. And look at that. Packs open. No, nice. No trouble. Also, with the Japanese packs too, because it's fewer cards, I don't do any sort of like special, you know, what to the back or whatever.
Yeah.
I just reveal them. So we got Arthur here, Chip, a Donald Duck. Now there are two uncommon slots, or one, depends on if you can get an extra rare in there. So we got Zero to Hero, a song. Oh, we got super rare, and it's a Namori. Or what's her name?
Namari.
Yeah.
And for our cold foil, Let It Go. Well, hey. Or not Let It Go. Let the storm rage on.
Yeah,
take that. We'll take that.
Nice.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Awesome.
Sweet.
You want to go, Brandon?
Have at it. Let's see what we got. I have not opened a Japanese pack. When we got them, my son opened all of them. But that is much nicer. Although I'm always afraid I'm going to bend something or break something. All right, let's see what we got. I don't even know the name of that card. Sword in the Stone?
Yeah, The Legend of the Sword in the Stone.
Ah, there we go. Herc.
Knock,
my least favorite card for the longest time. Had to get it.
This one's pretty good.
This one I think I have a ton of. You Can Fly. This is a cool foil. Unfortunately, it's not a foil. Got a rare coming. I can't remember.
Oh,
Shere Khan.
Shere Khan, yeah.
Not a big red player. And then looking at Jafar.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Nice looking card.
All right.
Let me see. I like that. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Unfortunately, they didn't do the full cold foil, if you notice.
Like they did on the other ones,
right? First chapter, the full cold foil. These are back to
they
like
cut back.
Yeah, don't know what the deal is with that, but
at least you're getting most of it. You get a lot of refraction, though. I do like that, how you can, it's around the character, at least on that one.
Yeah, the quality is really good on these, for sure.
I'm going to do an ASMR.
Ooh, okay.
Hello and welcome to the first ever upside pack opening of Japanese Rise of Floodborne. No, that's too annoying. Anyways, let me rip this open here.
It's Danny's cracking up. I'll just say Leslie was an ASMR streamer for a hot minute there.
Really?
Yeah, that was the kind of like pandemic. Everyone was trying to do their thing. That was Leslie's thing.
Seriously? I could totally see that. Katie is a big listener of ASMR
streams. We got to get them connected on that.
Yeah.
There'll probably be a lot to talk about.
So first off, we got Jiminy Cricket. Ooh, this is a great card. Painting the Roses Red. Little lemon-lime discard action. We got Princess Jasmine. Ooh, another good card, Pinocchio. Was this...
Jumped ahead.
Spoil.
This was Pinocchio telling lies, or...
I can't remember his name.
Never played him.
It was a good two-drop.
What was the big face for?
So we've got Belle, Hidden Archer.
Oh, nice card.
We'll take that. And then our cold foil. Wow, this is a beautiful cold foil.
Oh, wow. That is awesome.
The one that they made the matte art for folks... just listening to our stream, it's her, I forget the title, she's like uncanny artist or something like that.
Is that one? Yeah, that one.
But she's like hanging by her hair and painting the walls. It's very beautiful cold foil. Awesome. Well,
that was a hell of a
thanks,
pack.
Andrew. Yeah, that was a stacked pack.
Heck yeah.
Loaded with princesses.
Do you want to open the last one?
No, we'll give that to the person who might have been here but didn't show up today. So
yeah, that one's Anthony's. Anthony opened that one later. He'll be thrilled when we get home.
Nice.
I got more to give away too. So
maybe I'll make him watch and listen before he gets to open it.
Yeah. So Anthony, when you're listening, you're welcome. All right. So what else we got going on? We got our 1K event. We just brought on another local sponsor. Shout out to Misfit Games out in Oswego. They're sponsoring our 1K tournament, which I believe can put us over to the threshold and become a 2K tournament. Am I wrong?
You heard it here first, folks.
We will have five cases of Return of Jafar that will all be added to the prize pool. So I don't know what that shifts to make the new breakdown, but it's going to be pretty good for first place, right?
Especially on the $40 entrance fee.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty. It'll be a pretty good day. We'll have to figure out the breakdown. Yeah.
Nice.
It's exceeding where we were hoping to be. We were really just hoping to get that 1K off.
Yeah.
So we're all excited.
And excited that we are going to be doing this right around the time of Jafar's release.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever wins this, they're taking home more than a trove, but a true treasure trove of potential really great cards from Jafar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think, is there any other local players or players around the area that we can call out? Last time I called out the Forbidden Mountain guys. Zan Syed anywhere near us?
No, they're down in Georgia.
Unfortunately. Zan, come up here. Bring your discard deck.
I mean, his team's tournament was in Wisconsin. So, I mean, like, hey, if you're going to fly out for your team's tournament, you know, here's the one where you can win a 2K. So.
He did have good luck in Syracuse, right? He shouted out Syracuse. He had
Magic
fun.
Tournament.
Yeah, so Zan, come back up to Syracuse, buddy. Come win our tournament.
I mean, honestly, we've got so many great Lorcana players out there that until Ravensburger announces what's happening next for the official tournaments, this is the opportunity to make a name for yourself, to win some prizes, and more importantly, just play Lorcana, because that's why we're doing this, is we love the game. And so until Ravensburger puts something out, you know, the upside, we've got something for you. So June, what's the date again?
14th.
Yep.
10 a.m.
Come win, and then go home and give your father some Father's Day gifts.
There you go. I think he's talking about Anthony.
Yeah, that way. It.
No pressure.
I was thinking earlier today, I do this every now and then, and last set when we came out, we got through when Azurite went out. We got through the set championships. Then we had that little that lull, and they jumped right into the in that space that what was coming out in the Arcasia's Island. Is that how you say it? I don't even know how to say it. I can't spell it either. I was thinking with this set championship, there's no leeway. So in the middle of the set championship period, when everyone's going to be running their set championship, they're also going to be dumping the new cards, right? Because we're like 2 weeks out from, or next weekend's the first set championships. End of the month is the new cards, and stuff's going on. It'll be an interesting, May will be a crazy month for Lorcana when you really look at it. Do you guys agree with that? I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I did see something. I think May 7th is going to be the first card reveals coming out.
That.
Yeah, so Ravensburger, if you're seeing this, we'd love to reveal a card.
Yeah.
Hit us up. And not in the form of a cease and desist.
Yeah, oh, what's this letter we have here? not what we wanted.
But, I mean, we're getting at the end of the second year with this set. So, you know, last year they kind of, I mean, story-wise, they kind of blew it open with Ursula. We got the new game coming out that's focused. I saw TCG had they launched their contest to win some stuff. We're really not far away from seeing all that. And is there going to be any big things changing? Like, we went with Duel Links this time. Will they build on what's out there? It'll be really interesting to see how they end up this set before they get into Fable.
Yeah. Speaking of that, is there anything that you're looking forward to for you guys? I know, for one, I would love to see maybe a little bit more location support. I feel like locations are teetering on the potential of being really good. You have that Amethyst Steel John Silver deck. You know, it's got Fairy Ship and a lot of low-cost locations that you could really overwhelm your opponent. If there was just a little bit more location support, I feel like that deck could do really well.
Yeah, I could see that. Especially with a set where we had zero locations. So to follow that up with something, with some more location support. I would also like to see, you know, the princesses have always been a type that I've wanted to see played more. And obviously we see it in like Steel Song, and princesses pop up in other deck archetypes. But that's something where, like, I really feel Disney as a IP is strong and has an opportunity to really expand. So I'm hoping for cool princesses, especially in a set themed around like Jafar. So hopefully we'll get a cool Jasmine princess out of this, or more support for them. We had the card, the Glass Slipper, in this last set too. So more princess support is always cool.
And building off that, it'd be really interesting to see how they go, because if you look back to when Ursula came out, like, you would have thought that there was really going to be something that came in on the other side of that, right? So you got your villains, and they pumped up, and the Ursula card still played. It's a great card, right? Actually, that was a set three card, was the good Ursula, right?
Deceiver of All.
But, like, when we came out of that, there still hasn't been a powerful Jasmine, right? There's nothing where someone's like, I got to play Jasmine. It's not like Ballroom Sensation where you know it's going to be out there. Even Aladdin, he's got some cards. Abu was kind of pushed to he had like one or two cards, and he's just that one you've got 700 of. But, you know, when you come in with that big IP there, you think you would do more with that. And it'll be interesting to see if some really cool card comes out of it to maybe bring something back. Like, we've had cards start to really rise up and become more powerful over time, and we forget, hey, where's this? But some of those old locations that are just sitting there, you get something to really help it and make it worthwhile for a little more. It'll be interesting to see what they can do.
Definitely. Also, we got to talk about the elephant in the room. Well, two elephants in the room. I was initially going to say Brooms, because Brooms are so close to being good. Mm-hmm. But also, the set is named after the guy whose deck will probably be put over the top this next set, Jafar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited to see what comes from the potential of that Jafar Striking Illusionist, because it just has the potential to be an S-tier deck, depending on what cards we get. Like, being able to play A Whole New World and have him sing it, play A Whole New World and gain 7 lore is just nuts.
Yeah, and then still have the ink on the board and play another one if you pull one.
Yeah.
His issue is right now, it's pretty easy to see where he's coming. So,
you
know, he's going to be shifted on to a Jafar likely. So if you can take out the Jafar, the shift target from actually being able to fire, it will put him down. So maybe we'll get more support there. We only have Jafar in two colors, though, right now, Amethyst and Steel. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Jafar in Ruby, because just thinking, like,
fits that so well.
It fits, like, what Lorcana has done really good, and I've just got the cards here in front of me to look at them, is they try, like other card games, to keep color palettes matching the color type of the card, right? So in like the ruby cards, you see reds predominantly. In the emerald cards, you see green come out, right? So Jafar is like red, and his genie, which we haven't gotten a Jafar genie, which is a, you know, big part of Aladdin.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what we're getting is the he's got the Hexwell crown. So now let's turn him into a genie and get a big ruby something that probably won't be as good as other ruby cards. But who knows? We'll see.
Hey, I'd be interested to see it because that deck is so close to being so good. But maybe it switches from Amethyst Steel to a Ruby Steel. You know, it'll be interesting to see.
And Ruby Steel is looking for that one or two cards to put it over the top and make it. Like, I think a lot of people thought with Mushu coming out this time and Mulan, and there's a couple others that I thought it was going to be as big, and it hasn't. It's still misfiring somewhere along that line, but you might get a really powerful Jafar or something in there, and a red who could come in and make it even more powerful. Like, it just, it's scary when you think about, like,
oh yeah, you know what I would love to see is, because we got illusion cards this set, I would love to see some sort of Jafar synergy with the illusion cards. Like,
there's got to be
some sort of misfire happens, or if your opponent targets illusion characters, he can banish characters instead or something. I don't know. It'd be very interesting.
It was kind of a weird keyword or whatever we want to call it. Like, they put it out there. There's a couple cards.
It's mostly an amethyst, right?
Yeah.
All amethyst.
It's all amethyst. And except for
it's
Cobra.
It's like the oh, does that have it too?
Well, he's amethyst steel, but still amethyst, but right?
Yeah, but like, I just am. You don't see it, and it's not. I mean, it's an easy target. Like, if you're playing Steel Song, it's an easy target.
Let the Storm Rage on.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, the Storm Rage on. And there's so many other cards.
There's got to be something else.
I would love it if maybe there's a Jafar that's like, when your cards are targeted by your opponent, you gain a lore or something. That'd be just something, you know. So it's like, all right, I really don't want to do that, you know, with Cobra too, because you can get that sneaky 2 lore in for discarding a card. Like, maybe there's some synergy there.
Drives me nuts.
I don't know. There's potential though. I think a Jafar that did that could also potentially help the Jafar wheel deck, because there's so many times where those decks go off and then they just need a little bit more. I feel like Cobra and maybe this Jafar could help.
Sure.
Especially because we're in a steel meta, and there's a lot of cards that target your opponent's cards.
Well, anytime we go into like a deck color combo that doesn't have steel, I miss it. I'm like, I want those cards. I need those pieces that, like, those quick removals, or like, even I think like Tinkerbell, one of my favorite cards, seeing some play in the Emerald Steel deck again. But anytime I deviate from steel, I always want to go back to it.
Completely agree with that. And then the Tink too, like, it drives me nuts that I don't play Tink. And I can't find the use, but it just seems like such an awesome card. Mm-hmm. And when it comes out, you're just like, it, especially coming from the first set, it handicaps you right away, right? Your whole board's in trouble. Yeah. And then, you know, when anytime something's gone, something else is going with it, and you just, it really can damage your opponents. It drives me nuts to see it.
Yeah.
And we have seen it a lot more now. I've definitely seen it since this set, especially after the banning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I added that back into my green steel discard along with Tragic Hero Beast.
Yeah, it was good to see that come back again. It's another card I really liked.
Those cards really come in handy, especially if you have a morph on the field and your opponent doesn't have anything to remove it. That's a great turn 2 to turn 3. If I don't have Diablo, I'll shift onto Beast and then start getting my draws. Then it kind of puts a clock on your opponent. You either have to damage him somehow or just remove him, because I'm going to start drawing 2 cards per turn regardless.
Yeah, for sure.
Steel cards are strong. Who would have thought?
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier, and I was going to say something, but the princess, right? You talked about princesses. It's Disney. It's the IP. The Grand Duke, when set 2 was out, like, I was dying to make that work. Every week I was just spending time trying to get it. And Anthony used to give me a hard time because he's like, you got to get rid of the Grand Duke. He's useless. I'm like, there's something there. There's something there. And it's weird because there is something there with it. But you still, it's something's missing. And they could bring in 1 or 2 cards that could make that deck. It's kind of like with the hero, with Phil. Like, it gives you that little extra if you don't see it coming. And it can. And I can't remember if it does it give them each an extra lore? It's been so long, it's been a year since I played it. I'm going to look it up.
I feel like it does.
What card are we talking about?
The Grand Duke.
Grand Duke.
So he gives to princesses, princes, kings, and queens. I think they get an extra lore. Hold on, I'm going to confirm that.
Lore, strength, or willpower. I can't remember. Some kind of benefit like that.
Yeah.
But here's my shout out for the Dreamborn website. It is the best. It's so quick to find stuff as long as I can get logged in. I find it, and I love that it links to TCG so I can see values. So there's your shout out. You want to sponsor us?
Yeah, big fan of Dreamborn here too. So
everything we do is on it. And the Duke, the Grand Duke, he gives it is. Is they get one more willpower. But so Prince, Princess, Kings, and Queens. And then he, I mean, he's a 2/2 and he goes a 2, but you're not playing him, right? So he ain't.
Is he Amber?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Interesting.
So it can take some of those cards and prevent the brawl.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so it just needs something. And maybe I need to try it out again. I have, he's not a hero, and I know I'm stuck on heroes, but that's one of those ally cards that could be very beneficial.
Yeah. Well, and we did get ally support in Arcazes Island. There's Bianca, who costs less when you've got allies out. Mm-hmm. And then isn't there another card that does something? You get more with allies in it?
Yeah. I think it's another Rescue Rangers card.
Yeah.
Is it Orville? Oh, no.
We should have had a laptop open. Let me see if I can find. So some of the ally characters. The Princess Jasmine, Inspired Researcher, she's whenever this character quests and you have no cards in your hand, you draw a card for each ally character you have in play. But then also there's the Maid Marian, who really helps allies, and that's during your opponent's turn, whenever one of your ally characters is damaged, deal one damage to chosen opposing character, which is crazy.
Are those both Sapphire?
They're both Sapphire Steel cards.
Yeah.
So it is locked behind Sapphire Steel, but, I mean, it could be an interesting way to play Sapphire Steel, too. So
that's another thing I like about Lorcana is those other mechanics, those other things that are out there that people are willing to try. I still think we're still getting the fallout from Haram or Hiram, I can never say his name right, but we're still shaking out the meta where it was so strong before. I still think we're going to see a lot of changes in the next 2 weeks and then after the first round of set championships.
This is why I'm kind of glad I was in Japan for the like last 2 weeks, because all this nonsense happened while I was away. And not to say you shouldn't get it practice every week playing the game like it's going to help, but I feel better about heading into set championships now that we're still in a place of we have to figure this out again. We don't know what the S tier deck is. Maybe it is Emerald Steel, maybe not. We'll see, but I feel good that we're kind of all at the same place and we reset the board of like what the top tier decks are.
It's probably still Ruby Sapphire. Yeah. who knows?
Ruby Sapphire, or like we were joking that it's just going to go full circle and be Ruby Amethyst again.
Yeah,
like that's Ruby just Amethyst, it's this kind of handshake that occurs and always finds its way back to Ruby Amethyst.
There's always money in the banana stand. There's always a Ruby Amethyst deck that's going to win. It should be good for No, I'm Not. Shout out to him, Kendall. Mm. You know, he's the OG Ruby Amethyst player, so I'd love to see what his opinions are on the deck. Maybe that's something that we can do now that we have a podcast, is reach out to some of these players and see if they would want to join us for a podcast. Yeah. In our studio here at Growth Mode Studios, we can accept live guests. So
would we see him on the giant screen behind us, or how's that work?
Yeah, we could set it up so they could be on the screen, or
I feel like I'm in a real studio. This is really impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty legit.
It is a real studio. Nothing fake about this right
Good
now.
Good point. I
mean, here, I'm present. Another elephant in the room. I don't know if we addressed all of them yet, but is the, again, lack of world stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't really know what's happening, and not just worlds, which we all long for. Literally anything, right? And I'm a big fan of the DLC events. Danny and I, we had the opportunity to go to one together. It was a lot of fun. I really see that as like the pinnacle of Lorcana right now until we get more events and like Worlds 2, obviously. So I'm looking forward to those announcements. But the lack of it at the same time of getting stuff about Japan, bringing it back to, you know, my Japan trip there, is they did announce that there will be the Japanese Grand Prix and then ultimately like a Japanese championship. Or I might be mixing up the terms for what they're calling them. But it basically sounds like, hey, here's a DLC and then your nationals events, like how Europe had their continentals and North America had theirs. So what are our thoughts on what Japan is doing for their quote-unquote DLCs and championships?
I feel like they're probably trying to catch up Japan and the rest of the languages that didn't get Lorcana 2 years ago. It'd be cool to see something, anything, for competitive stuff. Because, yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun last year. We went to DLC Toronto, and we went to the Last Chance qualifiers at Disneyland. That was awesome. And there were still a ton of players at both things. Like, there are players all over the country that want to go to these bigger competitive events. So that was one of the reasons why we wanted to do our 1K event, now 2K. We're trying to put out some extra competitive events for people that, if they're around and want to travel to it, we got to do something, especially up here in the Northeast. I feel like most of the stuff you see is down south, like in Georgia. There was one out in Wisconsin, too. Wasn't that a big, like, 8K mm-hmm. tournament? To answer your question, I think it's cool that Japan's getting stuff. I'm totally jealous of them.
I agree with that completely. I'm interested because the things that jumped out to me were the restrictions. Japanese language only, you have to communicate, yeah. which is going to effectively eliminate most people from coming in from the outside. You were just there. Mm-hmm. How much Japanese do you speak?
None. It was arigato and konnichiwa were basically the only things I said the whole time.
And so, I mean, that just speaks to people not being able to travel in, and that was interesting to me. And then, and I believe China's their structures, they said, was going to be the same way. And then also their restriction on cards, you have to use the Japanese language cards, whereas the rest of the world, we can use what I want. So it's interesting to see why they're doing that. I hope it doesn't mean they're going to be restricted from worlds if we ever get them. Like the big level, there's going to be good players, and the more people we can get to come to Disney World, assuming it's in Disney World. We all thought this was going to be competed in March. And
yeah.
It's now May, and we haven't heard anything. That and my other big thing I'm missing, I've been asking for, is a digital client. Like, I want something to be able to play. Like, yeah, we've got other things out there we can do it, but we need a Lorcana when there's enough cards out there. They're going to make money on it. So I'd love to hear at least a status update. Like, we don't even know if it's coming.
Yeah.
We heard there's hirings. There's been rumors of that. They shut down whatever the one was that they shut down.
Pixelborn.
Yeah, right. Which I saw on my computer still today. And then there's a couple other clients out there that are definitely different. But it'll be awesome if we get an official one, because I love playing when I'm sitting watching the TV and I don't have my laptop, or not everything runs well on the iPad and stuff. But that's a big thing for me.
Yeah.
And I've kind of given up. I used to be like, every time something's coming out, we're going to get it. Now I completely forgot until we were just sitting here today.
Yeah. You bring up a good point. The other thing is, if they do a client, odds are it won't be like Pixelborn or anything like that, that you would just have a pool of every single card available.
Right.
And I get it. You know, it's a business. You're going to make money on the digital as well as the physical. What I would really love to see, and so far, to the best of my knowledge, the only company that does this is the Pokemon Company, but being able to open up a physical booster pack and then get a code and scan it in their online client and get a similar version of that booster pack is just huge. It pushes people that might not have accessed the digital client to go check it out, and then maybe they enjoy it enough that they're going to want to spend more time digitally as well as playing the physical card game. So there's definitely money there, and not to say that it's easy to just build an online client like that with every single card. As each set comes, that's going to be more work that needs to be put into it. But
we have, that's what I don't understand this at all. This is not, yeah. not the tech, I'm not a programmer, nothing, but like, there's people out there doing it,
yeah,
and they're not making money off it, right? And so the guy who's got the money behind it, you would think that it's there.
Yeah.
And I agree with the Pokemon thing. Like, that's pretty cool. I mean, and to be able to get that, and people don't like it, then they can sell the cards themselves if they want, you know, dump them on people. But I'm looking to have 15 versions of the Knock on my digital client.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's one of those things where it makes the company look like they have a little bit of egg on their face, but didn't they hire somebody who's potentially working on a scenario like that? So hopefully that person has a vision and they can work together to make a client that will be not a replacement for Pixelborn, because I don't think anything will replace Pixelborn, but you know, something to that caliber would be really cool to see.
Well, and with the kind of launch strategy of Ravensburger right now, too, like if there is a digital client, it's probably not going to be the same in every country. I was just traveling, and HBO Max apparently is not a thing in Canada right now. So we're trying to download The Last of Us before our flight, and it's giving us this is not in your region yet, so you can't use it. So I could imagine with this card game in, you know, Japan, China, they don't have all the sets yet. So how would the digital client work there versus playing in another part of the world? They just announced that like some of the other Asian countries are going to be getting Lorcana too. So it's pretty complicated, I think. More for us smooth brain, simple-minded people, we think it's easy, but I guess it's a lot more complicated behind the scenes to make this all work for them and be profitable too, because at the end of the day, that's what their business company wants. Yeah, their business, they got to make money.
Yeah, they have to make sure that they are, and I don't disagree with them. They have every right to do it, but it's we're ready for it, I think. Just that extra step, that extra thing coming out, and maybe they can use that to get the story across, because I still don't completely understand the story.
the lore behind Lorcana?
Yeah.
I used to know it. Do we have time for this?
Sure.
You guys want me to talk about the lore of Lorcana? So, like, even on your playmat there, the Ursula champion mat?
Yep.
So those are the three...
Lumineers?
Lumineers. They discover the Grand Illuminary in the first chapter, and they come to this tome, and... the tome can summon creatures or characters from all of Disney's history, and they all have their own magical abilities. They're glimmers. So they use it. It's called the Ink Caster, and they use the Ink Caster to call forth glimmers of Disney characters and summon them for battle. That's basically the gist. That's the first chapter. Then I believe the Grand Illuminary is flooded, which leads into Rise of the Floodborn. And all that is ink had spilled or flooded the tome, and it warped some of the glimmers to be Floodborn creatures. So they're like alternate versions of the characters from the story. Then it goes into the flood scattered items all throughout the land of Lorcana, and that's where they discover into the Inklands. Mm-hmm. That's where all the locations come into play, because they're searching for all the artifacts that were flooded out of the Grand Illuminary. So they go, they try and find all of the artifacts to bring them back to the Illuminary, and then they discover that the half Hexwell crown was restored by Ursula, and we go into Ursula's return. We do that through the Illuminary side quest of, what is it, Ursula's... is it just Ursula's Return?
No, it's
product. It's the Illuminary Quest or something.
Yeah, it's the Illuminary's Quest under this, or like something with the sea, I think. Anyways, we beat Ursula, and then there is a party thrown at the Grand Illuminary for Shimmering Skies. That's all that is. The glimmers come together to celebrate, and there's a bunch of characters having fun. Then after the party, they go on a search for Arcasia's Island, which in order to get there, they have to go and sail the Azurite Sea to Arcasia's Island. That's basically the gist. There's like way deeper lore there, and it's cool to see. Like, I don't know how familiar you are with like the hidden Mickeys on cards and stuff, but if you look, there's a lot of hidden Mickeys. Like this Rapunzel card, you can see the little hidden Mickey that she painted on the wall back there.
No kidding.
There's like a ton of hidden Mickeys and stuff. But on top of that, there's lore baked into the cards. So like if you're familiar with Detective Mickey.
Yeah, back from chapter
one. From chapter one, he's inspecting seaweed that he found in the Grand Illuminary that is hinting at Ursula. So this was all laid out, this whole story from set one, which is really cool. I hope that's something that they continue with the following sets. Like I know... vaguely Arcasia, like the 20 cards that you can put together, it kind of tells a little bit about Arcasia as an owl, and she or he had an old ink caster that was able to summon glimmers from two different colors. That's how we got the dual inks, and yeah, it's very interesting. The lore behind Lorcana, that could be a whole separate thing,
but yeah,
it's really cool.
That's pretty cool to actually hear that for the first time. I mean, I guess I never paid attention. I just got it and played. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah. There's definitely stuff online that'll tell it to you better than I did. But
well, and the villains, too, in this, like, they're scheming. So, like, Ursula's the one that kind of, it seems like, initiated the whole thing by attempting to steal the Hexwell crown, right?
Yep.
But Jafar, like, he's up to some shady business, and he's sent, like, Iago to go find the Hexwell crown. And we're going to the next set, the Reign of Jafar, where he gets the Hexwell crown. So that seems to be the continuous theme throughout these first few sets. And then I'll be really curious to see where it goes next in the story after Jafar, because then we go to Fabled. And from the very little that we know about this set, it doesn't seem to fit the other ones in terms of like the look, at least with the
looks pretty awesome
card that they showed. And I have a feeling that like this is some type of conclusion to a story with Jafar, and then we're going to pick up the next part of it. But
it's funny, I've heard that it's actually, there's a theory, because we're all in theories at this point, that we're actually going to like a prequel, like we're doing a flashback, and that's going to be like how it all started, which would be cool. And then because at some point, I don't know if it's year three or four that Pixar is going to jump in, right? And they've already said that's coming out, and I don't know if it was at that point, but I mean, I've always assumed it was going to be timed with the next Toy Story movie, which would make a lot of sense, but that's just going to make it crazy.
I mean, yeah.
That if you look at the worlds there that are created, it's going to have a lot of cool cards. And there's so much that we haven't seen just Disney IP. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if this comes up a lot, I think, at locals and stuff, like what's not there yet?
Yeah. Tarzan, Pocahontas, Hunchback of Notre Dame, those are all
Dumbo,
yeah, big Disney IPs that just aren't there yet. There's some too that I would love to see revisited. I'm a big fan of Pinocchio, and like we got a lot of Pinocchio cards in the first two or three sets, but there hasn't really been much since.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got Monstro in set 5 or 6.
Yeah.
The
something
whale,
like that,
but yeah, there's a lot.
Has there been a Geppetto?
Work with? No, there hasn't been a Geppetto.
Like one or two Jiminis.
Yeah,
yeah. There's definitely a lot of room there for.
So you know, there's definitely potential just all over the place. My kind of theory, what I know of the lore, and just like storytelling, there's only so many times you can use the MacGuffin of, it's the half Hexwell crown. Oh, they got it again. Oh, no. What are we going to do? You know, so I would love to see something like the Hexwell crown is just destroyed, and it causes that rift to go back in time or something. Or maybe it is just a jump back in time before. Maybe we can discover a little bit more about Arcasia. It would be cool. But yeah, I would love to see the Hexwell crown just destroyed, and we can move on to some other fantastic object.
A different MacGuffin.
Yeah, a different MacGuffin. But
waiting for the heel turn of Mickey until he turns and he ends up being the bad guy in set 3. That would be.
That probably was the ultimate, like, whatever you do, Mickey can't be the bad guy. Like, otherwise, you lose the license, you know?
I think there's got to be some, like, because this is the Disney IP, well, yes, you've got the ability to color outside the lines a little bit with the Disney characters. I'm sure there are some very strict rules that Disney says, no, no, no.
Goofy has to wear pants. Yeah. Or just, you know, something stupid like that.
Oh, well, that's Disney for you.
So what's the card that's not out there? This is always a question I think this changes. For me, it was always, it ended up being Naveen. Because I like the hero song, Steel song. And I said, you've got Rush. You've got something. You need something that allows me to play, to bang out a song when you don't see it coming. So it was Naveen. And I haven't come to the next card. But is there something out there that you think is missing from your deck that would help put you over the edge? And that card really changed how my deck played, by the way, I thought. Because you do slam that down. Turn 4, I can hit you with so many different things now.
It's a really good question. I feel like my issue is I've bounced around from so many different decks that I don't know what my favorite deck is to play. I had a lot of fun with Blue Steel last set before Blue Steel got crazy. I played that, I think, out of the 6 set champs that I played, I think I played Blue Steel 2 or 3 of those set champs. So that was probably my deck of the format, but I played Ruby Amethyst, I've played Steel Song, I've played Green Steel Discard. So depending on the deck, really, I don't know. I think I would love to see more of an Arthur-type card, like the King Victorious Arthur. Just being able to throw him down and then give a guy the ability to challenge an unreadied character, it catches your opponent off guard so often. Like that, I think that was one of the reasons why I enjoyed playing Blue Steel last set, is because I could just throw him down, show off my enchanted Arthur, but then also be like, okay, so Mr. Smee's going to run into, or my Calhoun's going to run into that guy. She has resist 4. and I'm going to take out somebody that you didn't think you were going to lose. So maybe something like that. I know there's cards already, like Zero to Hero. One Last Hope does that. But like, I would love another character that could do that, if that makes sense.
I'm the same way, Danny, where I haven't, like, I don't have a deck color combo. I've jumped around a bit. I think Emerald Steel was my favorite before it became really popular with Zan, because I played that back in Inklands, and actually that was how I won my first Rockstar Stitch, was playing Emerald Steel back in the original Bucky days. But what the card that I would like to see, I think, is missing, and it's not like a particular card, but I think it's a card type that is missing from most of the colors, is that like mass removal. So like Ruby has Be Prepared. You do have some mass removal in Emerald with Under the Sea, which puts cards at the bottom of the deck. And the, what's his name? The guy from Atlantis who sends cards back to the hand. So there's ways to get them. But the other colors, they don't have that. Steel does have Grab Your Sword, which deals 2 damage to everything. But that doesn't necessarily take out all the cards. So I feel like in Sapphire, we need something that puts all of your cards into the inkwell. Because that's what Sapphire is about, right? So kind of clears the board, but puts it in your ink. Amber, no idea what Amber does to remove cards. Maybe it's like you remove cards based on the number of songs that are in your discard or something like that. So to incentivize you to sing your songs. But that's something where it kind of forces you right now. If you want to clear the board, there's only really one way, and that's Be Prepared. So I'd like the other colors to have some kind of late game, let me throw this down to start over, or now get a chance to take back the game.
I like that. That was really well thought.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. As you were saying that, I was like, oh, that would be really cool for an Amber removal card based off of the songs in your discard. Because at least it feels a little bit more fair. It also fits with the theme, like with Turnabog and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, you can. I mean, it's a high cost. You make it a high cost card. It's a card you're only going to run one or two in your deck. Just to that late game, and you make it so, hey, maybe it's time to bring Sing Together back, right? That one thing that we used one time or something like that. We got one or two Sing Together cards, everyone got one, and then we never saw it again. And it's like, that's what I'm afraid of they're going to do with Illusion, by the way. But throw something out there that's big, that wipes the board, that makes you go, but it doesn't do it to you, it does it to them, right?
I don't know. But
no, that's what I'm saying, but like, that'd be cool if you could, because you have like a Bend to My Will and Emerald, which is a great card to dump someone's hand, but like something that impacts your opponent and not you is kind of that game changing. That's, and I think we're getting much more closer to consistently having, you never know. Every deck's getting close to having something where you can just Jafar, you know, even when you, the double.
Whole new world.
Yeah, game's over, right? Yeah. I mean, it's kind of. So when you go into a big tournament, like, it doesn't go in and we know that the same guy is going to win every time. It's nice to have something to mix it in. Doesn't mean I'm going to go in and win the whole thing, but at least have a shot at knocking someone off.
Definitely.
Well, right now the only deck is Ruby and then plus whatever other color, but it's like that turn 7, or when they have 7 ink in their inkwell, you have to be prepared for that, pun truly intended in this case. All the other decks, like, yeah, there are cards that you can expect, but it really depends on what version they're playing. So we don't have that in, like, if it's Sapphire and something else that isn't Ruby, you might not know what's coming. Maybe if it is Emerald and it is that Bend to My Will to get rid of your hand or something, and you've got some cheeky Muse stuff to return characters back to their hand in some way to be able to play that. But we don't have that, like, oh, we know it's coming. You know, what is this big card that's really going to shake up the game state?
Yeah, and it is. Be Prepared is perfect. I see Ruby, I start counting ink. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I'm interested in, like, how am I going to play this now? What, like, I'm at turn 5. I know you're not playing if it's not Sapphire or Ruby, right? You're like, okay, I can get cards out to get a big bang next turn and force them to play that. Sometimes I force them to play it because I know that I'm going to hit them with the whole new world or something. But
yeah. Well, this brings up I played Danny in the 1K at Unplugged. He's playing Ruby Amethyst, and I was playing Amber Amethyst, like hyper aggro, and that was always my thing. Like, I distinctly remember counting his ink because I had to keep track of that to get my characters out, knowing that the board wipe was coming to run away with it. So
I just remember, I can't believe I lost to this clown.
Yeah.
And here we are, best friend. That truly is the magic of Lorcana.
Facts.
Hey, I do want to throw one shout out before we out, because we are getting close.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, we had some fun Tuesday night. You were on your way back. You were somewhere between...
Gallivanting the world.
Yep, you were somewhere over between Canada and here. But we were able to go down to Tabletop, one of the sponsors of the 1K. They ran a pack rush. It's normally just our league night where we go and play, but they ran pack rush. We got to play with the first chapter and an Inklands. That was a lot of fun. There was one first chapter Enchanted pulled, the Aurora, so that was cool. But that was a lot of fun. John down there does a great job of trying different things and listening to us. That's the one of the best things about going down there is if we say we want to do it, he'll talk to everyone. So thank you to them. They've been a great partner to work with as a player, and we're finding out as the upside that they're really starting to do that too. So I just wanted to give them a shout out for doing that the other night.
Yeah.
No, my wife obviously hasn't checked the credit card bill yet because this, well, $70 when you guys usually pay $20. a lot of fun. I came home with a lot of Inklands cards because we didn't do well.
Yeah, no, that is great. Tabletop is an awesome store, and I love playing there. I feel like we're very fortunate to be in this area. Despite not getting like a big like DLC around here, we have a lot of local stores that realistically, you could play Lorcana 5 out of 7 days a week, which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, look at Chubbs, one of the guys we play with. He's like somewhere every different night. Every night. And look at it. We've got 5 stores stepping up in this area. We've got Misfit Games, Dame Games, Tabletop, Unplugged, and Storytellers all stepping up to sponsor. They run in their events, but they're working with us to run that 1K. So get out to the upside.quest.
Yep.
Sign up for the tournament. Check out some cool artwork that Danny's been working on for us. I think it's on our website. If not, it's on our Instagram.
Oh, it is.
Anything else, guys?
No. I got nothing.
Thanks for listening to us if you have made it this far, and we'll see you the next one.
Shout out socials.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The _upside_team. That's us on all of our socials.
There you go. So we'll see you there on the interwebs.
Peace.